Blog Talk Radio.
I am so sorry. I don't know what happened. But it just cut me completely off. But like I was saying, when you are going through all of this, all of these situations where you think it might be a memory issue, then what you need to do is look at your lifestyle, you know. Are you really under a lot of stress, not getting enough sleep, just have too much on your plate? And I can attest to that because when you're trying to be everything to everyone, it is very difficult to going on. Now, one of the things, when I have a lot of things going on, I use a calendar because I know that it's going to be, I'm not going to remember it all. I'm just not. And so right now I work for my church. Well, I have been working for my church, but I'm full time now. And so what I do is a lot of times when I'm booking appointments or people are requesting appointments, things like that, one time I just had a calendar at church, and then I would write stuff down in a book. But what I did, because I found out I had too much stuff overlapping, and people were calling me, and I couldn't remember what was on the church, so I bought a separate calendar. And so I keep my calendar with me at all times, and so if anybody asks me about something, I have that there. I don't stress about trying to find out what's going on. And then the other thing, too, is I have my personal calendar, and I keep that next to my church calendar. And I, put down things that I need to accomplish for the day, because I know that I may have a lot going on. So there are things that you can do, but if worse comes to worse, where you none of the things that you are doing are working, then the next thing you would need to do is make an appointment with your doctor. Very, very important. If normal, and it may be nothing, but for you, it eases your mind, and you're able to, know that it's not this. I just need to make changes in my life. And so that's what we do. And, we still try to advise people to do. The other thing, too, that I find, and everybody has to find that place where they can relax and allow their mind to, to just regroup, is find something that you like to do. Just, what I do, I'm on the, in my garden. I can't be out there very long, but I go in my garden and kind of get my mind away from other stressful things that I've done. And then the other thing that I do is I like doing some type of puzzle. That that works well for me. Everybody has to find what works for them, but that really works for me. So the next time you're feeling concerned about your keys, ask yourself some questions. Don't and about anything you think. It doesn't have to be keys. The keys seem to be what people get all concerned about. But just ask yourself some questions and see what your answer is to those questions. And if you notice that in general that you're under a lot of stress, you know, that's an unhealthy routine. If you know that you were just juggling a lot of things at one time and dealing with a long list, you know, that was just a blip. It just happened. The brain just couldn't comprehend all of that. But if you go on to ask yourself a lot of questions, like, are you getting sleep? We know that's unhealthy routine. You know, have you had any medicine changes? That could be something that's totally unrelated, so you need to have your meds evaluated because they can affect your thinking ability. And if you have read the side effects of the medicine, not that you're going to have, and I tell people, it's not that you're going to have them, but if for some reason you read those and that's one of the symptoms, then you definitely would want to talk to your doctor. Other things that can be a warning sign, if you notice you're having these cognitive glitches and you're having them more often, then certainly you would want to talk to your doctor. And it becomes progressively worse. I mean, you can't even recall the most relevant details. Then you know that you need to look at that. So these are some things to take about. Don't just automatically assume that you are experiencing any type of dementia or Alzheimer's or things like that. But like I said, one thing that you can do, and a lot of times we don't, is keep your mind active. I'm not talking about TV, but something that challenges you to think. A lot of people laugh at me because Scrabble, because it challenges me to think. I do word games, crossword puzzles. What it's doing is making my brain focus and remember, and it's so funny because I have this one word game that I do, and I can make the words, and then I'll get stumped with some words, and nothing I do seems to figure that word out. But then it'll give me a clue, it'll give me a letter, and when it gives me that letter, my mind goes right, oh, I know what that word is. So things like that helps us out. It helps us be more focused on the things that we are doing, and it keeps on. The one thing that I find that a lot of people do, especially as they get older, they don't do things to keep the mind active. Reading, very good. If it's no more than reading your Bible, I read my Bible. I have some books here I read. You know, those things, do all you can to keep your mind active. And I'm not saying that it won't happen, but the goal is to keep your mind as active as you can. All right? Sorry for the glitch. I don't know what happened. It just hung up on me. But Have a good evening, and I will see you the next time around. And you'll be blessed, stay healthy, and stay safe.
Good Lord, everyone. I don't know, our timing is off on the show tonight, but I do thank God. I seen the timing go off a little earlier to start, so I really don't know what the process is of the timing tonight, but to God be the glory. We thank God for life, health, and strength. We thank the Lord just for allowing us to come on the program and the show once again. The family knows best. We thank the Lord that he has allowed us to see a new day of his mercy and grace that he's given. I am Dwayne Harshaw, one of the hosts of the show. We are blessed. And sometimes we don't realize how blessed we truly are when we open our eyes in the morning to see a new day that God has allowed us, doing by his son, Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord because I am saved tonight, sanctified, thanking the Lord for such a great salvation, seeking for his precious gift of the Holy Ghost Spirit in my life, that I can continue more and more to do more of God's will, thanking him that I'm able to stand with his help to do the will of God, to share the word of God. It's not because any good thing that I've done, but through and by his mercy and grace, he has allowed me something better than the world. I'm honored tonight, and I'm thankful tonight. We're going to start our prayer request. We're going to be praying for our households, family, children, grandkids and great-grands and so on. Companionship, family outside of family, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, grandfathers and grandmothers. We're going to be praying for the elderly, all of our world leaders, all of our church leaders, all of our militaries, the incarcerated police force, schools, children. We're going to continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine and Russia, praying for all the families that lost homes and family members in the hurricanes and things. We want to continue to pray for all of our church leader, the bereaved family tonight. So many deaths in the last couple of months here where I live at. Every day you hear about someone. There's been two young men that have died again because of overdoses and other things in life. We pray for the families that's going through these situations with family. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you humble as we know how, thanking you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace that you have shared with us. We thank you for looking down on us throughout this day, keeping us safe over the dangerous highways. We thank you for your love and your kindness to us, dear God. We honor you this evening on this program, and we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all you're going to do. We don't know what the future holds for us, Lord. We're just living for the moment right now. We don't know what the move may be in our lives. But Lord, you already got it planned out for us. I thank you, Lord, for where you're taking me. Thank you for looking over my companion, Lord. Asking you to bless that knee, Lord, where she had the MRI today. Not knowing what the situation or the problem is, Lord, but you've already got it fixed, dear God. We depend on you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. My friend Isaac James Austin, Lord, the situation that he's in, relationship, we ask that you bless him, Lord, in a special way to work things out in his life, Lord. Let him know that you are the source of all life, all creation, all situations. I ask that you touch my aunt, Mary Armstrong, her neck, Lord, that she's going through, the therapy that she has to face, Lord. I ask that you touch her in a special way, dear God, her husband. We ask that you touch everyone that may be listening tonight to this program. Bishop Armstrong, Lord, the things that he has to face day in and day out now. I know it has to be a struggle sometimes for him, Lord, but he's holding on, dear God, and he's still doing everything that he has to do, Lord, to the glory of God. He's standing, Lord. He has so much on his plate, dear God. We ask that you give him strength through his family and his companion, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless her, Lord, in a special way. Like we know that you can and only you can, dear God, in the situation at hand. Lord, we thank you and we love you tonight. We praise your holy name. We thank you for such a great salvation that you have shared through your Son, Jesus Christ, through his blood, through his death and burial and resurrection, sitting on the right hand, advocating for us, Lord. We have a better life in Jesus. And I thank you. Ask that you bless each and every household that may be on the line, on the internet line tonight. Bless them in a special way, Lord, wherever they may be, all around the world. Just bless them, dear God, because it's a need, Lord. So many things is going on. Prayer, Lord, is needed so very, very badly. Help us, Lord, spiritually. Strengthen us spiritually, Lord, in our walk with Jesus. I want to be real, Lord. I want to be able to get a prayer through. I live, Lord, to live again. Hallelujah. Not for show, form, or fashion, but to glorify and lift up your holy name, Lord. Thank you right now and ask you to bless this program tonight, everything that's said and done. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you lead our mouths, lead our words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody, in the name of Jesus. Like I said, the timing's off a little bit, but we're going to go on and work this out because we have the Lord on our side. The topic is the family knows best. I'm going to do a little reading, then we're going to discuss some things about family problems, situations, pain, hurt, and things that we go through in family. Some things good, some things not good. Some things hurt, some things makes us happy and puts joy in our life. It says, what does the Bible say about the importance of family, the significance of our relationship with family? It was often mentioned in Scripture. Well, that means that God has everything in plan. God has everything in hand in his word. We don't have to go no farther to look for no better. Look through the word of God and continue to pray and put it in his hands, because there's things in life that we can't handle, things in life that we can't change when it comes to family, things in life that we live to see, but sometimes it don't happen in the way that we want it to, because family don't come together anymore like they used to. Family used to come together, eat together at the table. You didn't go out from the table and eat anywhere else in the house. All the family come together, you sat at the table, you said your grace. Before you ate, all as a family, you ate. When you finished, you got up. You took your plate to the sink and put it in the sink. Nobody waited on you. Your mother might fix the plate and put everything on it, unless she put things on the table and you pass it around and put what you want on the plate. She would always say, don't put no more on your plate than your mouth can eat. Your eyes is bigger than your mouth. You see a lot of stuff there, and your eyes see it, and you overdo it, and your mouth can't take it all in. Family was love. Family back then respected. Family back then didn't disrespect their parents. In our household, if we couldn't get along with our siblings, we didn't get to go out and play with anyone else. Our mother would make us come together when we got into it in the household. And she would make us hug each other till it got us to a point that when we got upset with one another, at the end, we ended up laughing because of what our mother made us do to hug one another with love. And it helped us to get better as family. Though the difficult and intense moment, it says through the difficult and intense moment in our lives, it is our family, sucker to God, that can provide comfort and reassurance. And moreover, when members of our family are going through hardship, we can provide assistance to them. It says we can provide assistance to them. And sometimes, you know, that's right. It says, right here, let me see, let me go to this verse right here, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, he or she. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And as it's instilled in you as it was in me, even though I got out and did the things in the world that I did, I know better because my mama went to church every Sunday, sometime through the week when they had services. And back when I was going to church, we had three services on Sunday, not just one. We didn't get to sit around and look at TV and worry about what was going on. And then each family took care of the pastor. And when it was your family's time to let the pastor come in to eat, the kids, they stayed out of the way. The pastor come in and the first lady, they sat down and they got the best pickings of whatever was there. They ate, and then after they ate and went on to do what they had to do before the next service, the kids come in and they sat down and they ate. They washed their hands, got cleaned up, sat at the table. They didn't run to their rooms with their plates and everything. They sat at the table with all the rest of the family. Ate, and then they got up. And then when you got ready to think you was going to play a little bit, your mama would tell you, if you go outside and you get dirty thinking dirty is going to keep you out of church, you're still going. So we had to make sure we didn't go out and get all messed up with our clothes still on because the next service was coming up. But that's the way that it was for us. And we respected, even though we didn't like it, we respected because we knew what would happen. When Mama said it, Daddy backed it up. There wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts about anything. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So, once you get married, why hanging on to mom and dad? And you're supposed to be a grown man. You're married now. Take care of your position as a man in the family and your wife, the things that you have to do for you and her in life. Y'all come together as one. Love one another. Pray for one another. Do for one another. And come together and share things within the home together. Not one-sided. We have to understand that it's a togetherness thing. Sometimes it don't happen that way. It's not one flesh. That's completely backwards sometimes. But the Bible says you become one in marriage. So we have to do it God's way. No matter how it seems, no matter how it looks, that's the way of life when you're on this journey as God's children that we have to live. We trust God at every word. We continue to trust the Bible, every word, knowing that Jesus is the source of everything, no matter what it is. Psalms 128, verse 3. Your wife will be like a faithful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. It didn't say in the bedroom or anywhere else. It says around the table. So that's what I was saying. The wife does what the wife does. Everybody comes in to the table. Share meals together, not apart. You don't pick a room that you want to go to or a spot you want to go to so you can eat away from everybody. You share it together. And that's the way that we grew up. And that's the way it was. A lot of things that we look at in life, we don't understand. But the thing is, when you do it God's way, it's better. It's better. Things don't become easy on you. You don't go through not having problems and situations in life. That's God's children, but you have someone you can always call on and go to because he's always near. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, this was back in the Old Testament days. God was talking to the people. Joshua was letting them know, was they going to serve the evil that they see around them instead of serving the Lord, doing the evil that they was doing, the negative things in life. But he said, are you going to serve those gods that can't do anything for you? Idols. Calling on idols. Idol gods. He said, but for him and his house, they was going to serve the Lord. Why? Because he knew what God could do for him and his family. He knew what God had already done. He knew who he trusted in. He had to get the word across to the people. They didn't want to hear it. They turned away from it. But God. But God. Through it all, Joshua had it in his heart to know that it didn't matter the gods that they served. He was going to serve the true and only living God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end God, that knows all things, could do all things. That's who him and his household was going to serve. And I thank the Lord that he gave me an opportunity to live this life and to live long enough to see and understand him choosing me for an opportunity, not me choosing him. Excuse me. Because I always thought back then that when the time was right, I would do the choosing. But when he got me in a position to let me see that I was nothing, I could do nothing, when he had me in submission in a situation in life that I could do anything about, he let me see he was choosing me for a life for better, or a life to live in the world. And I thank him for giving me the opportunity to make the right decision in life. God is good God. All the time he's good. He's never failed us yet. And one thing about it, when it comes to family, we have to understand things about family is, sometimes we go through situations as family that hurts you so bad. And we're going through a situation in life now with our granddaughter and things that, you know, she didn't like in life. She wanted someone. She had someone to take care of her kids. And she needed to go into rehab. But the problem was she didn't want to because she didn't want anybody to think she was a bad mother. So she decides to go ahead and do what she's doing and using the family to take care of her kids, and which we did. We put up with it for a long time. But when things got worse or to a situation in life, she wanted to take the kids away from us and leave to go somewhere to another state. And as she told my wife and I that she wasn't going, she's going to stay here. 2 days later, we find out she's gone. Took the kids, never said a word, never told anybody. A lot of people is hurt and suffering from this now in life, family, the things that happen within families. my grandson, his fiance, which he's my grandson, that him and her was going to get married, but they had kids, two girls. And she decided she was going to take them and leave because they had a place to live and she didn't. She said, if I let anybody take care of my kids, then I'll still be homeless. But the thing is, that was a decision that she bought on herself and made that she wanted to be. She had a good job, didn't want to work, wanted to lay around and not do nothing with two children, let everybody else take care of them while she laid around on drugs. And we put up with it for a while. Well, now she's gone. There's no more that you can do when it comes to family than what you have done. And you can't let certain situations stress you out because of what one parent may do. The children loved us. We love the children. But she's the mother. If she decides to take them and leave, there's nothing no one can do. And it's a painful situation, even though you don't let the stress of it bother you, but you still get stressed to a point that you can't help it. And we have to realize in situations like this that we have no control over, we know the one that has control over all things. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we pray and we just continue on and put things in God's hands. Because the thing is, it doesn't matter what situation you may be in. It doesn't matter the hurt that you face. If you would just trust and have enough faith to put it in the Lord's hands, he will see you through. It will give you strength to go through. We don't know what the kids may go through or what the situation may be, but God's already working in the plan, and we are trusting him for their protection because we know that he knows best, and he can do more than we could ever do for him. It's a hurtful situation when family can't pull together and work out situations in life because this is the way things are now compared to when I was younger growing up. We was able to talk about things. We was able to go through things a lot more better than now. But young people nowadays, they have their own minds. They don't have any respect for person or parents. If you can't let them have their way and do for them what they want you to do, then it don't matter to them. It don't matter to them. Psalms 127. Verses 3-5 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, or the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So we find out, no matter how it is, we have to continue to stay as a family. We still have to love one another. We still have to understand the things of life that we face every day. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And see, this is the problem. Provoking the children. We're supposed to bring them up. And we can't, you know, it says bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The government have got involved in family problems. And they have tried to take control on what can and what can't happen within a family. And this has caused a lot of problems with family. So you only have so much that they say you can do. You got to continue to hold fast because the Word of God says with discipline. We have to discipline them, and the courts, no matter what the situation is, we don't have to abuse them, but we have to discipline our children to respect the household, the parents, the elderly. We have to make sure that there's a certain type of respect around the household. We can't let them run wild and do what they feel they want to do. Because if we do, then they're overruling us. They're overruling us, and we can't do that. You know, we have a job to do. And if we don't do it by the word and the will of God, we're causing problems in our families. We have to continue to be the voice, men. This is the problem that we've had. Men have not stepped up in the part of the families to where the mothers have continued to have to do this, to take over, to make the family understand that this is what it's all about. Fathers have given up. Fathers have let go. They're not standing up to their jobs in life. They have a job to do. But the problem is, it says in the time is about over. I don't know what we're going to do after this, but glory be to God, the time that we've had. I'm thinking that the time has come close to lapsing, and the time was not set for the right time. But we're so thankful for what we have already had. We're so thankful for what God is already doing. He has already blessed everything to come about and everything. Because without him, nothing's possible. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we have nothing. We want to continue to be a blessing to someone. We want to continue to bless everyone that has called or listened in tonight. Thank the Lord for you, because without him, we're nothing. God bless each and every one. Shalom. Thank you for calling in.